So this morning, we're going to open up God's Word, otherwise known as the Bible. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we've been doing this series on what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. And these are all character qualities that through our relationship with God begin to develop in our lives. And you'll notice as we read through this list, you'll notice that really all of these things, everything in this list is a description of who God is. And so as we read this, yes, they're qualities that we're striving for with the Lord's help in our lives, but the reason we want these things is because this is what God is like. And our goal as followers of Jesus Christ is to become increasingly like Him. Now, none of us are there yet, but that's the vision, that's the goal. We have our eyes on Jesus. And we're saying, if this is what Jesus did, this is what we want to do. If this is how Jesus treated people, then this is how we want to treat people. If this is what Jesus is like, then this is what we want to be like. So Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, this beautiful description, the fruit of the Spirit. And notice again, all these things describe God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. God is a God of joy. God is a God of peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness. And where we're landing today is God is faithful. He's faithful. God is gentle. And certainly, God is a God of self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So last week we talked about goodness, and I encouraged every one of us to intentionally do something good for somebody this last week. So hopefully you had the opportunity to give that a try. If you didn't, don't worry about it. You can do it this week, all right? This morning, we're going to be talking about faithfulness, faithfulness. Now, what does it mean to be a faithful person? So this word faithful or faithfulness actually comes from the same Greek word as faith, all right? And so you see the word faith in there. And so to be a faithful person means to be a person that someone is able to put their faith in, okay? Someone that is worthy of someone else putting their faith in. Now, we never put our faith in another person in the same sense that we put our faith in Jesus, because Jesus is in a completely different category, amen? And so it's a mistake for us to put our faith or trust in any person the same way that we put our trust in Jesus. But nonetheless, our goal is to reflect the faithfulness that Christ has shown to us. So because Jesus has been so faithful to us, our goal as Christ followers is to be faithful people, people that can be counted on. So a faithful person is someone who can be counted on, someone who's dependable, someone who's trustworthy, someone who's reliable, to be a person who keeps their word. Remember what Jesus said about that? Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And he was telling people not to swear, meaning take an oath or promise. In other words, your word should be your word, and you shouldn't have to tell people, no, I really mean it this time. I promise you, I'm telling the truth this time. You should never have to talk that way, because people should know that when you say something, it's truthful. To be a truthful and honest person, a person who keeps their word. This is what it means to be faithful. And then also to show integrity in your life. To show integrity means that we're the same person privately as we are publicly. That we're consistent. We're consistent in our lives. Now, the Bible has a lot to say, a lot of different scriptures about faithfulness. And what you're going to find is most of the scriptures that talk about faithfulness are talking about God, because He's the ultimate example and source of faithfulness. So faithfulness is how God has been to us. God's been faithful to us. Aren't you thankful today that God's been faithful to you? Amen? I mean, I can just look at the years in our lives, and yeah, there's been highs and lows, just as they are in everybody's life. And yet, through it all, the common thread has been God has been faithful to us. There are a number of metaphors that the Bible uses to describe who God is, a number of different word pictures. But one of the most used metaphor of who God is in the Bible, and one of my favorites, is that God is a rock. God is a rock. And it's just a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness, because it tells us that God is reliable and trustworthy, in that everything in my world can be shifting and changing, but the one thing that will not change is God, that he is the big constant in our lives, right? So he is a rock. So, for example, David wrote in Psalm 18 and verse 2, he wrote, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So it's this great picture from David that faced so much adversity in his life, but he kept coming back to the fact that through it all, through everything David faced in his life, God was there, and God was his fortress and his rock. God is faithful to his people. There's a great hymn of the church that just talks about the faithfulness of God, and the title is, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And here's some of the words. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And then it goes on to talk about how faithful God is in different areas of our life. Pardon for sin. Who's thankful for God's faithfulness in that area? Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Hallelujah. We serve a faithful, faithful God. Amen. And so it starts there in our lives. It starts with appreciating and acknowledging how faithful God is to us. And then because God has been faithful to us, our response is to be faithful to him. So faithfulness in the Bible is also expressed as devotion to Christ. Our devotion to the Lord in response for his faithfulness to us. We're faithful to him. We're devoted to him. And we're devoted to him even when others fail to be. We're devoted to Christ even when we face adversity, even when others don't appreciate our faith in the Lord and our commitment to him. We're devoted to him because your faithfulness to the Lord is going to get tested, church. But those testings, the Bible says, those testings, those trials we go through will only serve to make our faith stronger in the Lord. Be faithful in those times of testing. And then, of course, in scriptures, faithfulness is also expressed by being faithful to our spouse. So as a husband, being faithful to your wife, as a wife, being faithful to your husband, there is a reason that we say when we get married, there's a reason those vows are there, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, that we are faithful no matter what the circumstances we're walking through may be. Amen? Every couple that's been married for any length of time can identify exactly with what I'm saying, right? Yeah, faithfulness to our spouse. And then a fourth way that the Bible expresses faithfulness is our responsibility with God-given resources. So God has given us a life. He's given us a time. He's given us energy. He's given us gifts and abilities. He's given us finances. And so being faithful with what God has given to us, all right? And so Jesus said that when we stand before the Lord one day and we've been faithful to him, what we're going to hear from the Lord is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So being a faithful person, and certainly when I consider people in my life that were godly examples for me, people that I have admired and people that I've looked to as mentors, they haven't been maybe the most charismatic people. They haven't been the wealthiest people. They haven't been perhaps the most gifted people. And as pastors, maybe they didn't pastor the biggest church in town. But the common denominator for people I know in my life that I look to as examples is they're people who are faithful. They're faithful people. Yeah. Being a faithful person. Now, the Bible has all kinds of examples of faithfulness. I thank God for his word, and I thank God for the honesty in his word. God is very clear that even really great people have shortcomings. And so there's these stories in the Bible of, you know, heroes of the faith, but the Bible's very honest about their shortcomings. But the thing that was the common thread in these people is they're faithful people. They're faithful to the Lord. And one of those people, and you've probably never heard of him before because he's only mentioned a couple of times, it's a guy by the name of Hananiah. And his story, well, it's not even really a full story, but he is mentioned in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah, remember, was sent by God to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down and set down for decades. The city was destroyed, and then God calls this man Nehemiah to go back and lead the way, and they miraculously rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But a very important thing is after that was all done, Nehemiah didn't want the city to fall back into the same spiritual place it had before, so he wanted faithful, responsible leaders to take over after the walls were rebuilt. So Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2 says, "I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah," close but two different people, "Hananiah," and look what it says about Hananiah, "the commander of the fortress," that was his job, "for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most." I love that. He was a faithful man who feared God more than most. Why was Hananiah chosen by Nehemiah? Because he was faithful. He's faithful. He says, I can't turn this job over to just anybody, no matter how talented they might look. I am looking for someone who's faithful. Notice not only was he faithful, but he feared God more than most. You think there might be a correlation between being a faithful person and being a person who fears God? Is there a connection there? I think there is. Now, having a fear of God is something that some people are very confused by because they confuse the fear of God with being afraid of God. And they're two different things. Okay, they're kind of connected, but they're different. I've had people ask over the years, "Tim, is it more important to fear God or to love God?" And that shows me they don't understand what fearing the Lord is. To have a fear of God does not mean we've got this fear that, you know, God is looking for us to slip up so he can squash us. If God wanted to squash you, he would have done it by now. Right? not what God wants to do. So it's not being afraid of God. It's a fear of God, meaning we honor God, we respect God, we admire God, we adore him. So having a fear of God and having a love for God, they're not opposites. In fact, they're the same thing. We admire the Lord. We love him. We have a fear of him because of how awesome he is. And so when we see God that way, we're going to be faithful to him. So it's that love for the Lord that motivates faithfulness. The two are connected, loving God and being faithful to God. You say, well, I love God. Pastor Tim, I really love God. Great, I'm glad. Now be faithful to God. Show God you love him by being faithful to him. Say, oh, I really love my wife. Awesome. Prove it. Be faithful to your wife. Oh, Pastor Tim, I really love my friends. Good. Be a faithful friend. Right? Oh, man, I love our church. Man, I love Bethel Church, and I love people that love Bethel Church. That's awesome. Okay? Be faithful to your church then. You love your church? Be faithful. Love and faithfulness go hand in hand. They go together. Yeah, be a loving person and then prove it by being a faithful person. Because let's face it, faithfulness is going to get tested. Being a faithful person isn't always easy, but it's always rewarding. Right? There's things that are going to pull against us being faithful. We live in a culture that has devalued the importance of being a faithful person. We have pro athletes that could care less about being faithful to their team. They're going to go to the team that pays the most money, right? What's in it for me? This is our culture. We're focused on winning at all costs, no matter who we have to step on. We believe in success, even at the expense of others. We have a mantra that says, do what's best for yourself. And all of these things run against this biblical idea of being a faithful person. Selfishness and faithfulness can never coexist. They are at odds with one another. That's why Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Faithful person who can find? It's so rare in our culture. Because there's a lot of things pulling against us being faithful people. I want to talk about a couple of those. There are things that, and perhaps you can identify with these, but one of the things that pulls against faithfulness in our lives is the grass is greener on the other side of the fence syndrome. Well, yeah, it's fine here, but after a while I'm getting a little bored here, and wow, it looks pretty good over there. The grass must be greener over there, right? And that's going to pull against this virtue of faithfulness. Another thing that pulls against faithfulness in our lives is the apparent success of unfaithful people. The apparent success of unfaithful people. So here we are, we're being faithful to God, we're just being faithful, 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 and then we see other people that we know aren't faithful, and they seem to be getting away with it. Not only are they getting away with it, but they seem to be doing really, really good. And it makes us think, wow, I wonder if this faithfulness thing is really the way to go after all. The psalmist experienced that same feeling, Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. In other words, he's saying, I almost stopped being faithful. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So in other words, I was being a faithful person, then I noticed this other guy over here being completely unfaithful, but he's prospering. So I nearly almost thought, well, man, is this really worth it? But And we're not going to bring up the rest of the psalm. I would encourage you to read it later. You read the rest of the psalm and you see how it resolves. And this guy realizes that in the end, as the Bible says, a man reaps what he sows. That in the end, what appeared to be prosperity and success dissolves into nothingness. Another thing that pulls against our faithfulness is disappointment. Disappointment. We're being faithful, doing our best to be faithful, and then things don't go our way. Someone lets us down. And I know many of us in this room this morning, we've been hurt by people that we promised to be faithful to, and they promised to be faithful to us, and then they weren't. And that hurts a lot. And so there can be a disappointment that starts to set into our heart, and we get discouraged from being faithful people. And I want to encourage you today that as you are faithful to the Lord, God rewards faithfulness. Amen? And even if people haven't been faithful in their dealings with you, you be faithful before the Lord, and God is going to be faithful to you. Okay? And then another thing that pulls against faithfulness is not necessarily other people being unfaithful, but our own failures. Because none of us have this down perfect yet, right? And we've all failed. We've all been unfaithful in our lives in different times in different ways. And nobody can claim before God that they've been perfectly faithful all their life. We're just not. I got good news for you today, though. Even though we are sometimes unfaithful to God, God is still always faithful to us. Amen? He's always faithful to his people. He's always faithful to us. And God loves us in spite of our failures and shortcomings. God is understanding and kind and compassionate. And whereas the enemy wants to take your failures and shortcomings and put them in your face and remind you, I want to remind you what God says about us. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That even though we have failed and been unfaithful, God forgives and is gracious and he's good to us. So we don't live in the past. We move forward in hope and faith because of the faithfulness of God in forgiving us. We live in a culture that is so performance-based when it comes to love. In other words, we feel like in order to be loved, we've got to do the right thing and say the right thing all the time and live up to someone else's expectations. And we feel the pressure of that so that we feel like, man, if I was really real and an honest person, then I'm not going to be loved. But I want you to know, God's love is nothing like that. You're chosen by God. You're chosen by God. God loved you long before you ever started loving him. Amen? He loves us unconditionally, unmerited, not performance-based at all. He loves us just because that's who God is. He loves you, and more than you can even imagine right now or understand. I honestly believe that it probably won't be until we get to heaven that we'll really start to get a grasp on how loved we really are. So even though we're unfaithful sometimes, God is always faithful to us. Look at this. It's an amazing promise. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, I want you to understand this verse. This verse is not encouraging or condoning us being faithless, right? What it is saying is when we are faithless, God is still faithful. Who's thankful for that today? Amen. All the honest people. Yeah. When we're faithless, God is still faithful to us. And I love the rationale here where it says, here's why God is going to be faithful to you. He cannot disown himself. Do you know that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, Christ came to dwell in you by his Holy Spirit? Amen? You belong to him. You are his. So he will not disown you, because that would be disowning himself. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. This is how faithful God is to us. So as we pray this morning and ask God to help us be more faithful people, to be a more faithful friend and a more faithful church member and a more faithful spouse and more devoted to Christ, as we're praying for that, we're going to begin by just saying, Lord, thank you that you've been so faithful to me. Amen? Yeah. And the cool thing about God's faithfulness is, by very definition, God's going to be faithful to you tomorrow too. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the week after that, and the month after that, and the year after that, and the decade after that, and the millennium after that. God will be eternally faithful to you, because that's who he is. Come on. Come on. Oh, thank the Lord.